God bless you, Sister Hannah. We're going to miss Hannah. We need to keep her in our prayers. I'm thankful that she's going to a city where there's a lot of good missionary Baptist churches, and I pray that she'll stay in church. And I believe that she will. I want to say that I'm very thankful to have the privilege to continue as your pastor. I appreciate that very much. I stand in great need of your prayers, and we need to pray for each other. And I want to ask you to pray for the message today. Pray for me today as I try to bring before you the things that God has placed upon my heart. I have a desire today to follow the Lord and to try to please the Lord. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to try to please the Lord. And so I want to call your attention to a scripture reading that's found in the sixth chapter of the Ephesian letter. I'm going to read just a few verses of this. So if you have your Bibles and would like to read with me today, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading with the first verse. The Apostle Paul was the writer of this epistle. He wrote this to the church at Ephesus. And he said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." And I'm going to just stop my reading there, having read the first six verses of the sixth chapter of Ephesians for a scripture reading today. I would like to speak today about obedience. I'm just going to use that one word as a title for my message today, obedience. The Apostle Paul here, writing to the church at Ephesus, and I believe in these verses that I have read to you today, speaking about obedience. Do I need the other one? Or speaking about obedience in a natural sense, telling children to obey their parents. And the Apostle Paul said that this is right. This is the right thing to do. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, he also wrote to the people there in Colossae, and he said, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." The Lord loves that. It's pleasing to the Lord for children to obey their parents. Now, I believe that the Apostle Paul, in this letter to the Ephesians, I believe that he tells us just how delighted that God is with that. He said, "Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." God is so delighted in this that he gave a promise to those who will do this. And that promise was that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And I'm telling you today that there are a lot of benefits to children who will obey their parents. And I believe that sometimes we see, even perhaps you have witnessed even in public, how embarrassing that it can be when a child is in charge and a child won't listen to their parents and their parents don't make them listen to them. It creates some pretty embarrassing situations, doesn't it? And the Bible even talks to us about that. The Bible even says that a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. And so there are some great promises and there are great blessings in being obedient. I wonder today how many of you, and I believe this is true with many, but I wonder how many of you today were brought up in a family and how many of you today had parents that minding was not presented to you as an option. It wasn't to me. Minding my parents was not a suggestion. It was not an option. It was something that we were expected to do. And if we did not do it, then we paid the price for that. And I believe that that's how it should be. I believe that our society today, and I've said this before, I'm the last one in the world to promote any kind of abuse. I don't believe at all in child abuse. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe that there are a lot of situations today where people look at something and they say, that's abuse. When I was a kid, it was just called getting a whipping. And we got them. I mean, we had to pay the price for being disobedient to our parents. And I believe that that any time where you have a society where that's the case, it makes for a much better society. It produces much more respectful young people. And I'll tell you what, I believe that this is one of the things, you know, the scriptures tell us that we are to, when the laws of men contradict the laws of God, that we are to follow the laws of God. We are to obey God rather than men. And I believe in this day and age, even when it's not popular, if we want our children to be what they ought to be, that we better follow the guidelines that are given us in the scriptures when it comes to raising our children. I want to say this to parents that, you know, your children will find buddies. They'll find friends, but what they need from you is parenting. They need parenting. And I think that a lot of times today that there's perhaps parents that are too concerned about being friends and buddies with their kids, and they leave off the parenting because maybe they don't want those kids to get mad at them or get upset with them, but your children need parents. They'll find their friends and their buddies along the way at school and different places, but they need you to be a parent. And so the Bible teaches us that it is proper and that it is right for children to obey their parents. Now, I really didn't, and I wanted to say those things, but I really didn't want to talk so much about this in a natural sense. I want to talk about this in a spiritual sense today. And those of us who are saved, we are children. We are the children of God. And I'm telling you that God expects obedience from His children. And God loves obedience. He loves for us to obey. It is well pleasing to the Lord when He tells us what to do and we obey that. Now, I want you to understand this, and I want to go back for just a moment. When I was growing up, when my parents told me to do something, if I did not do it, I got punished for that.
And you know, I'm going to say this, that there is a theme that runs all the way through the scriptures. I mean, from the very onset, from the book of Genesis, all the way through the Bible, there is a theme that you will find that goes all the way through the scriptures, and that is that God has promised his blessings upon his people for their obedience. And he has promised his punishment upon his people for their disobedience. Now, there again, when I was growing up, and many of you here today can relate to the same thing, when we were growing up, the punishment that our parents were able to inflict upon us, they only had the right to take that so far, didn't they? It had to be loving correction. It was not to be abusive, and it's never to be abusive. It's always to be done in love and for the purpose of correcting. And our parents were within limits of how far they could go in correcting us. But I'm going to tell you what, and perhaps I will touch on some of these. We have examples in the Bible. And God has done this in the past, and God can still do this today, and God has the right to do it, where we have examples in the scriptures where God punished his children for disobedience to him to an extent that natural parents would never be allowed to do that. God has taken the life of his children more than once for their disobedience to God. And, you know, it may be things that we may look at, and we have examples in the scriptures that we can look at and see times where God did that, where in our human reasoning, we may look at that and say, wow, somebody lost their life for that? But God doesn't, you know, his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, and he is serious. God is serious about what he tells us to do. And when he instructs his children to do something, you know, we may look at it from a human standpoint. We may look at it and we may think, well, that's not a whole lot. That's not really all that important. But listen, that doesn't mean that God is looking at it like that. Probably if we, in our carnal way of thinking, in our human way of logic, we may look at what Aaron and Moses were punished for Moses taking the rod and striking the rock rather than speaking to the rock the way that God had instructed him. And we may look at that and say, he lost his life for that. But there is great meaning to that. And the bottom line is that's not what God told him. God told him to speak to the rock. God did not tell him to strike the rock. God told him to speak to the rock, and he dishonored the Lord in disobeying him and not doing what God had told him to do. And because of that, he did not get to lead the children of Israel on into the promised land, nor did Aaron, and God took their lives from them for their disobedience. God's not anybody to mess with. God is not someone to be trifled with. In the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said this. You know, folks, listen, if you're here today, if you've got any question at all in your minds as to why you are here, if you've got any questions at all as to why you are living, why you are here on the earth, this verse, I believe, will answer that question for you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, the wise man Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's a purpose for us being here. It's the reason for the human family to reverence the Lord and to obey him, to keep his commandments, and that's the reason that we are here. Now, I want to summarize something that we find in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. There was a time when under their first king, under the king that was the people's choice, who was Saul, God had instructed Saul to destroy the Amalekites. He had told him to destroy them utterly, to destroy them completely. God had instructed Saul, because of what the Amalekites had done, God had instructed him to destroy them, to destroy their livestock, to wipe them out. Well, Saul did not obey God in what God told him to do. They did destroy them, but not to the extent that God told them. They saved the king of the Amalekites, Agag. They spared his life. They saved him alive. They saved the best of their sheep. They saved the best of their oxen. And when Samuel came to Saul, Saul told Samuel that he had obeyed the Lord, that he had done what the Lord had told him to do. And you know, the Bible says your sins will find you out. Well, they sure did with Saul there. Because when he told Samuel that he had obeyed the Lord in all that God had told him to do, Samuel was hearing the sheep. And he said, well, then what mean this bleating of the sheep? If you, and the lowing of the oxen I hear, if you have obeyed what God told you to do, I wouldn't be hearing the sheep and I wouldn't be hearing the oxen, because you would have destroyed them the way that God told you to. And Saul said, well, we kept them to sacrifice to the Lord. That's why we kept them. We kept them to sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel said this to Saul. He said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. What was he telling him? What was Samuel telling Saul? It would have been better, much better, if you would have just listened to God and done what God told you to do. Now let me tell you something. I believe that the Lord has spoken to us by his word. He has given us written instruction. You know, if you want to know how that you are supposed to live as a child of God, right here's the rule book. God has given us instruction as to how we are to live. And there are also those times we know that the Lord speaks to us by his Holy Spirit, and he instructs us and leads us into what he would have us to do. Now, I'm going to say this. If you believe that God has told you something that contradicts his word, you're listening to the wrong voice. The Bible teaches us that we are to try the spirits, and the way that we try the spirits is by the word of God. But we know that the Lord deals personally with his people, and there are times that the Holy Spirit will move upon our hearts and he will instruct us and lead us into what he would have us to do. Now, the Bible tells us this. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the Bible tells us that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Bible also tells us in the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians that we are not to quench the Spirit, that is to extinguish the Spirit. We are to obey the Holy Spirit of God in what He tells us to do. And, you know, I'm going to say this, that when God, the things that He has told us in His Word and the things that God leads us to do by His Spirit, I assure you that none of us have a better idea. We don't. I believe Saul was trying to convince Samuel, well, yeah, but I had a better idea. Yeah, God told me to, destroy the Amalekites. He told me to destroy the oxen and the sheep, but I had a better idea. I had an idea to save them and to use them for a burnt sacrifice. Let me tell you something. The things that God has told us in His Word, the things that He tells us by the Holy Spirit, we don't have a better idea about things than what God does. We try to rationalize things. Sometimes we let our human intellect interfere and we say, well, you know, maybe this is what God is telling me, but I ought to do it this way or I ought to do it that way. I'm telling you, friends, you don't have a better idea than God. Saul should have just listened to the Lord. Now, if you want to know what can happen for disobeying the Lord, you can go read about what happened to Moses. You can go read about what happened to Jonah. Listen, I believe this. I believe that when God's people will follow the Lord, when God's people will obey the Holy Spirit of God, it will not only benefit your life, but it'll benefit the life of your family. It'll benefit the life of people around you. I thought Brother Forshee made a wonderful point here Friday about Abraham being blessed and being a blessing. And that can happen with those who follow the Lord. Listen, you can have through obedience to God, you can have a very positive effect upon your children, upon your family. Through disobedience to God, you can have a very negative effect upon them as well. And God is a jealous God. The Bible tells us in the 20th chapter of Exodus that He is a jealous God. He is a God that visits the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of them that hate Him. You know, when one of God's children disobeys Him, it's not like a natural son disobeying his natural father. It's much more serious than that. And it can carry a much greater penalty than that as well. And we see example after example in the Scriptures where that has been the case. I believe this. I believe that the voice of God, the Holy Spirit of God that speaks to us, trumps everything. It does. I want to use an example. I hope that Sister Sherry won't mind me sharing this, but I need to do this to make a point. I remember some years ago when Brother and Sister LaCofta started coming here. And they were wanting to join Fairview Memorial. And Sister Sherry had some reservations because she was going to have to be rebaptized in order to become a member. She had some reservations about that. I understood that. We met, we talked. One day they came to our house. We sat down and talked, and she was struggling with that. We talked for a while, and I asked her a question. I said, Sister Sherry, I said, I want to ask you a question. Is the Holy Spirit of God moving upon your heart to unite with Fairview Memorial? Is he? She said, yes. I said, that trumps everything. And that's the way I feel about it. That trumps everything. Listen, if God is moving upon your heart to unite with a church, if there's perhaps that church has maybe a traditional practice that you're not accustomed to, if the Holy Spirit of God is moving on your heart, that trumps everything, because God will never lead you into harm. God will never lead you into the wrong way. I don't believe that God will ever lead one of his people into a church that is not really a church. I don't believe that. What the Lord tells us to do, that's the trump card. And I'm thankful that she was willing to embrace that and to believe that, because how many times have we heard her testify how blessed she has felt to be a member, and what a blessing that they have been to us. What a blessing. I'll tell you what, when we follow the Lord, it doesn't only affect us. It affects those around us. It doesn't only bless us. It blesses those around us. Let me tell you something. Disobedience does the same thing. When Jonah disobeyed God, when he got on that ship, trying to run away from the Lord, he put all the mariners on that ship in danger. I told somebody one time, I said, you don't want to be anywhere around one of God's people when they're living disobedient to the Lord. He put all those men, all the lives of those men in danger. Well, the Lord put him in a nasty place for disobeying God, didn't he? He put Jonah in a nasty place. And when Jonah received his chastisement and the whale spit him out, he went to Nineveh and he preached what God told him to preach in the first place, and that whole city repented of their sins at the preaching of Jonah. He could have just done that in the first place, couldn't he? He could have saved himself a lot of grief. How many times have you heard one of God's people say this? Or how many times have you been like me and actually done this? The Lord tells you to do something, but you got a better idea. You'll do it later. Yeah, I think that's a good idea, God, but I'll do it later. I'll just wait till later. But we don't have a better idea, do we? God knows what he wants us to do, and he knows when he wants us to do it. When he moves upon our heart, that's what we ought to follow. We need to be obedient sons and daughters to the Lord. And so if we would do that, then we wouldn't have to give these testimonies. How many times have you heard somebody testify? Maybe they come back to church that evening and they testify and they
I was supposed to do this earlier, but I didn't, and now I'm doing it, but I'm also in trouble. I'm in trouble with the Lord for not having done that earlier. So it's important. Listen, if you want to try to convince people that, well, I've done, you know, I'm not disobedient. I've obeyed everything that the Lord has told me to do. You might get away with convincing people of it, but I'm going to tell you, God can hear the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen, and He knows. He knows. Children, God's children, obey your heavenly Father. Obey Him. Do the best that you can to obey the things that are written in His Word. Do the best that you can to obey Him when He moves upon your heart and speaks to you by the Holy Spirit. Obey Him. He will bless you for it. He'll bless others for it. And you'll be an influence to others by doing that very thing. I'd like for us to have a song. I'd like to open the doors of the church today. I want to say this to anybody, if you're here today and the Holy Spirit is moving upon your heart, and I stress that, if the Holy Spirit is moving upon your heart, if you're here today and you know that you've been saved by God's grace, you can give a testimony of a time and place when God saved you and the Lord is impressing you to join Fairview Memorial. You need to do that. You need to obey the Lord in what He would have you to do. I'm gonna try to obey Him today in following the impression that He gave me to open the doors of the church. It's going to be up to you what you will do with what the Lord tells you. While we stand and have a song.